This is the PropTech VC Podcast. We give you unique insights into how innovative technologies are disrupting real estate. We interview top entrepreneurs, investors, and knowledgeable experts to share the inside scoop in this fast-moving industry. It's hosted by leading PropTech VC, Zane Jaffer. Let's dive into today's content.
But you're also an active investor yourself. You have your own, you know, portfolio of startup investments too. Any advice for entrepreneurs out there in prop tech and out of it, then basic advice given the set of experiences you have?
Yep. So I've never been a professional investor. In fact, it's just like, how do I help others? How do I take some of the lessons I've had and help others and give them a shot as well? I mean, it's the same thing that I was given a shot. So I wouldn't regard myself as like, you know, if you're a VC or anything, don't take any of my advice. could be completely wrong. But I just think there's some fundamentals. And I learned this as when I was working with Dalton running admissions at YC. You know, my whole thing was like spending time back at YC to help YC because they helped me. I also wanted to help other founders. And what I learned a lot about like interviewing people in 10 minutes and try to make a decision on whether you should invest in them or not, you quickly get into the fundamentals. Stuff. I actually think it's a great artificial forcing function to ask the really, really pointed question. Like I used to sit with Paul Buchheit and Trevor Blackwell was basically the group that I would be always with when we're interviewing teams and stuff. And like each of us had our areas of where we dig into, for Paul, he'd be like immediately technical, you know, peeling off all the onions, understanding like technical capabilities. And for Trevor, it's a similar thing. He sort of had his understanding of like certain areas in like science, robotics and other areas. And he could really dig into like, you know, how good do you understand your stuff? And my thing was like trying to understand the human side of it. And the biggest question I would always ask is like, why are you doing this? Why you as a human, are you spending time doing this? Because you're pretty smart. You can be doing so many other things, but you chose to do this. And is it because you want to be, you know, rich, famous, or whatever it is? It doesn't matter. Everyone's got their own conviction. But typically what I find is when there's a natural connection between the human and what they're trying to achieve through this mechanism, through this startup, through this project, the likelihood of a successful outcome is much higher. And the reason being is that the person, the team is willing to go through the hell, willing to go through brick walls and everything else to get to the other end, because there's no shortage of brick walls and things that are going to try to kill you along the way. But the ones that sort of say, this is too hard, I'm going to go do something else, I can, you know, make more money selling stocks or something else, they'll quickly go and do that. Right. And the ones that are just like, you know, unrealistic and not because they're completely naive, but because they're like, yeah, I know this is hard. I know this is seemingly impossible, but I'm just going to keep pushing and keep pushing and keep pushing. There's something else that makes them tick. There's something else that you find why they do what they do. And when you really dig into that, I think that's where you really find the reasons for why something's going to be successful, is because those people are driving it to get to that point where it's going to be successful. And look, it can be anything. It doesn't have to be a particular thing. It could be, yeah, I want to be rich. I want to be like Mark Zuckerberg. Fine, that's your thing. But really own it. Really sort of like, you know,
drive integrity behind the why, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Know your why.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And you know, I've seen enough times now where when those things connect, it's a pretty powerful force. And if anyone was to say to you, well, why doesn't Google do this? Why doesn't Facebook do this? Why doesn't Apple do this? It's because they're not you.
That's,
you know? And that's the biggest difference. Yeah.
That was the bane of my existence when I was a CEO at Bungle. It was always, well, nice idea, but Google and Facebook could do this. I'm like, yeah, I've been hearing this now for, you know, 1 year, 5 years, 7 years. They haven't done it yet. I can tell you they've tried for sure. But here's the thing. At Google, there's a product manager who's tasked with this. And she or he is looking for her next promotion somewhere else, right? She's or he is not going to have the same maniacal focus and everything at stake the way I do and the way our team does. And that's really what it was. It was really, yeah, you're betting on me versus Google. And I know Google has a lot of potential. And yes, it's naive to say, you know, Google couldn't crush us. They could. But Larry Page has a lot more other priorities, and they shut down routinely businesses that make hundreds of millions of dollars because it just isn't strategic or core to Google. And that leaves room for us entrepreneurs, us startup founders.
Yep. And that's the best part about this whole world of startups and founders and entrepreneurs, and even, you know, people that join those companies to help them build it. It's like, no, you don't have to be stuck in a big company to try to achieve something. Like, you know, some big companies can give you opportunities to work on some really challenging problems, but you can easily, you know, join a team to take on some of these seemingly, you know, impossible challenges and really contribute to the art, really contribute to moving that industry forward. And it doesn't always have to end up as another Google. Just that small team can then push it enough that it's like, huh, this is the way forward. They've just cracked open a new way to see things or a new way to move things forward. And you want to be in the position to best, you know, keep pushing that thing forward. And by the time the rest of the other companies realize that there's something there, it's like, it's just a copycat mentality versus like a ownership mentality. It's right. Like, you know, you can never be, you know, a constant traveler that never, you know, owns the problem or owns the challenge, where you can say, I'm going to own this problem end to end. And, you know, that means also owning the challenges, owning all the things that tell you this is not going to work. You know, this is impossible, or this is too hard, or you'll never get it done this time, or you'll need infinite money and all those things. Like, there's no shortage of reasons why things can't be done. The job is to find reasons why it can be done. And doing it in a way that, you know, you have those insights. And like you said, the PM at Google, I mean, they're probably focused mostly on like making sure they're a good PM at Google, not making sure that, you know, this innovation is going to exist in a while and help sort of move things forward. And, you know, there is a difference. And, you know, that's why I asked that question, why, because it helps really kind of separate the difference, really separate the inner drive. And, you know, one of the most important questions in YC's application is, tell us about, you know, some hack you had to do in life, and not, you know, computer hacking and stealing stuff, just basically you had to go around the corner, or you had to go on an unproven path to get to something. And you just read these most amazing, you know, life experiences and life journeys. You just read like what things people are willing to go through to achieve what they imagine, or get to the point where they can prove something. And it's just like, that's the stuff is just really electrifying. That's the stuff that tells you a lot. And it's never in resumes. It doesn't fit in the resume. Like, what are you interested in? Everything. That's the real nugget inside of, like, I think what YC caught on is, like, there are these unreasonable people who do not sort of just take it as a given how the world works, sees it as like, okay, this is a state of art, but sees it where it can go, and is, you know, unreasonable enough to expect that they can move the entire industry to go that way, or to move, you know, people to think that way. And that's what you want to sort of see.
Dennis, spot on. I remember one of my first investors, Tim Draper, and we did a video on this too. And I was losing Tim Draper in the pitch. The reason was because I wasn't coming from a place of integrity. I was tired of making the same pitch over and over and over again. And really, it took to kind of, when he left for a toilet break, me and my co-founder looked at each other and realized we're losing him. And we came in and we just threw the pitch deck out, and we just talked from an integrity perspective. Here's why we're doing this. We're passionate. And I find too, when entrepreneurs pitch me, I'm sure probably same with you, sometimes you have to snap them out of that routine pitch and just get to the core. Why are you doing this, right? Time is very valuable for you. What is the niche in the universe you want to create for yourself? And that's when greatness comes, when that ties together.
And that's like, you know, if you think about it, there's no artifacts to use to answer that question. There is no slides to answer that question. There is no things to present or anything. It literally comes down to the human that's, you know, talking in front of you in sort of its rawest sense. And that's really the, you know, I wish all pitches could be like that. I wish, you know, we didn't have to like work on like presenting and the rest of it. Just like sit down together and let's talk about what we're doing. And honestly, that's actually how I raise funding. I never do pitches. I never do slides. I basically sit down. It's like, let's talk about this, you know. And you know, the last round we did, it was it was supposed to be a short meeting, ended up being a very long meeting, and we've no materials, no slides or anything, and just me surrounded by four or five VCs, completely like, you know, mind blown in like, you know, what I was covering. It's that connection. It's like the awakening and the sort of sense that this human is willing to do something, whether you like it or not, whether you're going to help them or not, they're going to do it. And they're going to, you know, either be better off if you can help them and you can make that connection yourself. And that's what you want. You want the feeling that, you know, a VC or somebody out there is like, I want to help this group. I want to help this team. I want this team to succeed. I want to commit capital to do that. I want to, you know, see through this with them, you know, and go and fight the battles with them. And you know, that's best done when you really get to the human side of things. Now I get, you know, you don't always have the luxury of spending that much time. So you have to send some materials. You have to get people's interest in the first place. But that's why, you know, a network is important. You know, having your peers make introductions, like, you know, most of the investors that I work with, I've met through peers. You know, I've met through other founders who have introduced me and said, hey, we're working in this space. You might be interested in it. Do you want to have a chat with them? And that's typically been much better than, like, you know, any sort of cold calling or trying to sort of
aim for anything. You're getting honest. You're getting the honest view from fellow entrepreneurs on, you know, which investors are good. I mean, I know Alex is an investor in you. He also invested in us once and he was fantastic. And I'm so thrilled, you know, that he's with you guys, because that's a really entrepreneur-friendly investor, you know, who backs you.
Oh, yeah. And it was an instant for us. That's what I'm saying. You know, these things don't have to be complicated, right? It was just instant for the both of us. It's like, let's get working together. It's just like, let's really, really go for this. And then same with Kleiner Perkins, when we met with Wen and we met with Mamoon and the team. It was just instantly, because, you know, I didn't realize this until I met them, just how much long-term thinkers they are, just how much they really go through that sort of like, hey, we're willing to innovate all the way with you. You know, and if you look at their history from Genentech to Amazon and Google, every single one of those bets was like 10 years plus. They're like, we're not looking at like, where are you going to be next year from now? We're looking like, how do we help you achieve your goals over the next 10 years? Because we know that this is impactful if the world can have this.
That's why VCs haven't historically produced great returns. There's only a handful of folks out there, right? Kleiner Perkins being one of them, because they look at the world differently. They say, we're not here for a quick, you know, safe return. We're going to swing for the fences and do what VC is supposed to do. We're going to invest in businesses that can generate huge returns with risk, and we take a decade plus long view. That's how long it takes to build a transformational company. Yep. Last thing I'll say too is, I was surprised when running Bungle how difficult it was to make that first $1 million in revenue. Then the next $1 million came, and it was hard still. Then the next 50 million came, the next 100 million came, the next 200, 300 million came, and I was like, wow. Every year that we now hold on to this, right, the revenue and valuation is exploding. And that's the great thing. When you put effort in, it's 6-7 years in when you really start to realize, look at Amazon and Apple, you know, in 1 year, how much of the market cap they've added versus the cumulative previous years. Blows your mind, even Tesla, you know. It's holding on for a long time.
And that's why it's so important to have that commitment to long term, to that commitment for, like, you know, don't look for a fast return, look for like a commitment to, to, you know, a long term strategy. And, you know, I was like, really, really impressed when I met the KP team. Similarly, when I met the Scale team as well, it's like, their commitments to how they can contribute to what you're doing. I was like, set in the foundations of their DNA. It wasn't like, you know, how do we become the best, you know, VC firm? It was like, no, how do we become a team that can help these founders achieve these goals, right? And yes, you know, returns will come to them as well over the long term, but it's not because like they're trying to build the best VC firm. It's like they're trying to get the best team to work with the founders to be effective, you know. And the best proof point of that was, you know, when we did meet Wen, and, you know, the funny thing is we didn't have to pitch him. He already knew everything we're doing over the next 10 years. He already said, when working with Bandua, this is just how profound and how much of a long-term thinkers they are. At some point, Wen and John Doerr were working very closely, and Wen used to be his chief of staff. And so Wen spent a lot of time with John, as John was like investing in Amazon and Google and lots of companies, you know, and really thinking about the long-term of things. And one thing that John always expressed, and he's an Intel guy, so he comes from the world of microchips and sort of sees it whenever more and more chips can enter more and more products, the world changes, and you want to sort of, you know, help see that change. Now, this is going back probably 15 to 20 years ago. John had this view of like, at some point, microchips are going to be in everything. It's going to be in chairs, it's going to be in clothes, it's going to be in all these things. And when all those things come together and all these things are now communicating with each other, there's going to be an identity play. And when that identity play comes, invest in that.
and the back of my neck is standing, I've got this belief, even throughout history, you'll look at, when great inventions have come, it was preceded by a few individuals randomly around the globe having these visions of what's going to happen and pouncing at the right time. And it's somewhat like that too with entrepreneurs, right? Where you've got, great people out there who have these visions of the future. And it seems to happen in society at once. This point happens where the world needs it. The universe needs this product. That's why it ties to your why. You've been able to tune in to your why to the point where you've been able to attract people around you who are also focused on your vision. That makes sense.
Yeah, totally. And it's like, their whys and our whys connect, right? And you sort of see it's very intentional why KP invested in a lot of, hard tech companies and chip makers and other things, because they're building the tools for us to innovate with. They're building literally the things that is going to allow us to create a Raspberry Pi, for example, right? And literally it was a Raspberry Pi we put on the door the first time around, right? To just prove to ourselves we can do an experience like this. And if you just peel down through the onions and realize, okay, what are all the investments and all the other teams and companies and startups and stuff that worked on stuff that led to this thing now being capable of doing this, that now I'm taking to move to the next thing, right? And you just realize, actually, there's a pattern here. There's, people that have been thinking about this and being purposely, investing and putting the energy out there to open up these things. And like, you got to be just, completely like bow down and thank you for everyone working hard to like open up these opportunities for me and others to like say, I'm going to add my piece on top of it, or I'm going to sort of take this to the next thing. But you've got to do it very graciously, because there's so much beneath that that's come in to allow that.
When you devote yourself to a noble cause that progresses society forwards, the universe will make, will make movement for you. It will move mountains for you, right? As long as you connect your why to that purpose, you will eventually attract great investors, great employees, and that's how you will build a great vision. The world needs this. There's no denying the way you've outlined your vision for how you see the future of people, right? Our movement across buildings, right? Yeah. I don't quite buy that we're going to be sitting in a VR world. No, instead, the world is going to be around us, and we're going to be moving through buildings seamlessly. And that is a noble cause, and that's why you guys are doing well and you've got great backers behind you.
Oh, and we have a lot of work to do. So, it's, it's always, very real to me to say, don't screw it up. It's always day one at Proxy. It's always like, the beginning. There's never a moment of like, we've achieved something or anything. It's always that journey. And like, we just keep working harder and harder and like, get to work with smart people that are joining and just keep expanding from there. And I feel just massively lucky to just, be in this environment where people are willing to take a chance, right? Take a chance on you, take a chance on me, take a chance on like, ideas, and take a chance on like, long-term thinking of like allowing for things to evolve over time. Like that's, I just feel like massively lucky and gracious for those who have committed to allowing that to happen.
Great. Hanging back forwards is important. Well, Dennis, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for doing this, and can't wait to keep a tab on what's lying ahead.
No, thank you. And thanks for spending the time and allowing me to share some of this. Hopefully it's useful to your audience and useful to people out there.